This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Bozich going to join us from Louisville. Cards tonight, Team of Mystery, host UCF in football. We'll get into that with Rick, in addition to some other things, and the legendary voice of the Florida State Seminoles and the world champion Tampa Bay Bucks, Gene Deckerhoff, will join us as well this hour. We look forward to it.
Yep, Buccaneers got a big fight on their hands Saturday at, or Sunday at 4:25 now.
No, they
don't. Forget that.
No, they don't. They really don't.
No, they're
gonna,
on, man.
They're going to run you guys right out of town, but
all
you're
right.
Used to it.
I'll see you on Tuesday morning.
All right, by the way, hold on. Wait. Let me ask you real quick. What will be a closer defeat? Atlanta against Tampa Bay Sunday, Elon App State Saturday. Closer defeat.
Oh.
Just for you. You eating lemons over there? What are you doing? Lemon squares.
Is this
what
bark or bite? Is this a bark or bite question?
No, this is a Mark Packer to West Durham. You know, you got.
I'm going to say Falcons.
Falcons closer.
Falcons are going to play hard. Falcons right. Will be closer.
Okay, fair enough. Right. Mark the tape. Right. Mark the tape on that. Mark it. Assuming we can mark tape at the way we're rolling today in Bristol. I'm not sure if that's physically possible given our technical expertise. That could be a big ask.
Here we go. One stat per game. It's a fixture on a Football Friday, and we're going to start with tonight's game at Cardinals Stadium. You can see it on ESPN with Jason Benetti and Andre Ware. Coming up at 7 o'clock, Louisville hosts UCF. Malik Cunningham is 14th nationally and 2nd in the ACC with an average of 18 points per game, Pack.
Pretty strong considering it was goose eggs in the first 30 minutes of the season. He's picked up the pace, but you know what? Louisville's going to have to pick up the pace tonight. It's a good football team coming to town now. UCF can play. This is, again, another one of those narrative games we harp on all the time for the ACC. Tag, you're at Louisville. We'll talk to Rick Bozich about that coming up.
You bet in about, 12 minutes. All right, Black Diamond Trophy is in Morgantown. They'll be at Mountaineer Field tomorrow. It's a high noon start for Virginia Tech in West Virginia. The Hokies own a 12-2 mark under Justin Fuente when rushing for 250 or more yards in a game, including 5-1 a season ago. West Virginia hasn't allowed 250 more net rushing yards in Neil Brown's tenure. 236 at Iowa State last year is the highest total they've allowed, and that includes winning the Liberty Bowl against Army last December.
250 may be a big ask, just saying. There may have to be other means. You know, Braxton Burmeister's been really good the first 2 weeks, and maybe his wheels could be the difference in this game. This is a really, really good football game. Should be incredibly competitive.
I agree with you. High noon at Hard Rock Stadium over on ABC. Joe Tessitore, Greg McElroy, and the coveted invite will have Michigan State and number 24 Miami. You see the Canes, 4-1 at home in 2020. They're 25-6 in 31 regular season home games since Manny Diaz came to work for Mark Richt in 2016, Pack.
High noon, beautiful day, South Florida. Are fans going to be energized at the Hard Rock? That would be my first question. Second question is, hey, Miami, you going to tackle the guy with the ball this week? I highly suggest it. That stat we gave earlier this week, 241 yards after contact, will not be sufficient tomorrow. This is another important narrative game for the ACC. You're playing a Power 5 team. Sparty's off to a good start. Kenneth Walker, we know all about him from Wake Forest. He's transferred over. 321 yards so far. Very important game tomorrow for the ACC.
All right, let's go to Heinz Field at Pittsburgh, where the Panthers welcome Tim Lester's Western Michigan team to Pittsburgh tomorrow. Kenny Pickett, first pick quarterback with 2 400-yard passing games. No other player has more than one. Now, that's a list of quarterbacks he's on, too, that he has now 2 400-yard games.
Who's doing the game?
Tomorrow, Western Michigan and Pittsburgh will be on the ESPN app, Pac. That's part of the regional sports network coverage.
Okay.
By the way.
All right, fair enough. I like Pitt. Big, large, grande.
Yeah. All right. What do you think about Albany and Syracuse at the Dome tomorrow? That's Chris Cotter, Mark Herzlich, and Jalen Johnson as we start our triple header on ACC Network. Syracuse has won 11 straight games against teams from the state of New York, outscoring opponents 432 to 104.
I'm predicting that the voice of a single victory will be able to use that term for the last time tomorrow, because I'm sensing that our man Josh Macri tomorrow about 3:30 will now be the voice of multiple victories. That's what I think.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, first ever meeting between the Great Danes and the Orange tomorrow. The Pat Kraft Classic, so named by my partner, is tomorrow at Lincoln Financial Field. That ball game is on ESPNU with Brian Custer, Kelly Stauffer, and Lauren Sisler at noon. Boston College, 13 interceptions in 12 games under Jeff Hafley. That's in the top 25 of the FBS in that period.
If you're going to the game, take it from the Pac-Man. Before you get to the stadium, go to the Terminal Market and get the Amish pancakes. When you walk in, you go to the far left corner and you get in line and get the Amish pancakes. And if you've got anything left over, hit to Nick's on the way out and get a double dip pork sandwich. Stick it in your pocket and go over there. And then you watch BC wear them out. Stick it, buy two, one for your right pocket and your left pocket. And then you go watch BC wear out Temple. Take it, and I'm telling you, you will not be disappointed.
You just told people to go to a place and eat Amish pancakes and then buy a double-dip pork sandwich. In fact, two of them
on
their way out.
Well, you got to balance your jacket or your pants. You don't want to be leaning one way or the other.
It's a noon game.
Go early, 7:30, whatever time they open up. The pancakes come first. Do a little walk around, sample, and then go grab a couple Dinnick sandwiches and then go to the stadium and watch BC kick Temple all over the yard. That's what I'd suggest.
All right. That highlights the 12 noon card. Let's go to the 3:30 start. We'll go to Frank Howard Field at Clemson's Memorial Stadium tomorrow. ABC and Bob Wischusen, Dan Orlovsky, Chris Budden with Georgia Tech and number 6 Clemson. The Jackets have outgained their opponents by more than 100 yards in each of their first two games this year. They're one up and one down headed to Clemson.
I remember going down to Atlanta. Never won down there. Georgia Tech.
I bet you do, Coach.
Georgia Tech would beat me silly. So I hope old Dabo puts 100 on them like he should have done last year.
Coach, you only had to go to Atlanta every year because Georgia Tech wouldn't come to Clemson to play you.
That's what I'm talking about. You know what? Revenge is going to be brutal for them boys tomorrow if I hadn't anything to do with it. If I was Dabo, I'd put 100 on him in the first half.
All right. ESPN's got the coverage of Florida State and Wake Forest. That starts at 3:30. Mark Jones, Robert Griffin III, and Quit Kestick on the call from Truist Field. Florida State hasn't won their ACC opener since 2015, Pac.
That is crazy. No, they hadn't won they haven't won an opener, period, since they beat Ole Miss a few years back. Got to get off to a great start. This game has kind of gained interest, I think, as the week's gone on, given what happened last Saturday night in Tallahassee and the anticipation that Wake Forest may be on to something. So I think this is, believe it or not, there's some marquee games around the country. This one is flying so far underneath the radar, but there's got nothing but storylines written all over this game, regardless of outcome. This will be a hot topic on Monday and Tuesday show next week here on ACC Network.
All right, 4 o'clock start, Wallace Wade Stadium right here on the West Campus at Duke. The 21st meeting all time between Northwestern and the Blue Devils. Gunnar Holmberg, 71.4% completion through his first two games, highest of any Duke quarterback, who's opened his first two games with 400 or more passing yards. Roddy Jones, LaRisha Harris, and I will be here for the call of that one.
It's JPI, and get it right, Wes. Wallace Wade Outdoor Stadium.
Outdoor.
We got
right.
Cameron
outdoor.
Indoor. We got Wallace Wade Outdoor. given the way we've been rolling at Duke today, we want to make sure you get in the right place. Wallace Wade Outdoor Stadium. It's where we're going to be.
I got you. All right. Let's move over to Raleigh. 7:30 start tomorrow night for Furman and North Carolina State. The Wolfpack 7-0 against FCS teams under Dave Doran. They've outscored them 252-64.
It's all about Dick Sheridan tomorrow, boys. He was great for both. Hall of Famer Dick Sheridan. Man, was he a great coach. Always thought he'd even go on to bigger and better things. But I thought, hey, he was great at Furman. He was great at NC State. I mean, he'd be Danny Ford like it was just like changing socks, man. He just had Danny's number. But NC State tomorrow gets back to their winning ways. I just hope they can get through the game healthy, right? I mean, given their week and what they're coming off of, NC State needs to get a nice, comfortable win, make sure everybody's healthy, and then the build-up will begin next week when Clemson comes to town.
He beat Danny Ford like changing socks?
He beat him every year, like 3 years in a row, I think it was. And this is went back when Danny was rolling now in the 80s. Man. NC State had their number. Ooh. Now they can't beat him. But, man, back then, man, Dick Sheridan, boy, he would coach him up.
All right, 7:30 tomorrow night, the final game of our triple header right here on ACC Network, the South's oldest football rivalry. Carolina has not defeated Virginia in men's basketball or football since February of 2017. This is a Brian Ives special right here. I can tell you exactly who came up with this one. 11 straight losses, 7 in hoops, 4 in football for the Tar Heels against the Cavaliers.
You know, that doesn't sit very well with North Carolina fans, and I don't blame you. Man, I don't blame you. When you got one of those border wars and somebody taps you on the shoulder, not only in the fall, but also in the winter, that's a problem. I mean, because normally you get one of those things, hey, we stink in football, but we own you in hoops, or vice versa. But Virginia right now has been tapping a lot of shoulders with Carolina Blue on it. So I'm telling you, that game tomorrow night's got something riding on it on both sides. It will be a good one. And I'm glad it's right here on ACC Network. That's a beautiful thing.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Rick Bozich going to join us from Louisville. Cards tonight, Team of Mystery, host UCF in football. We'll get into that with Rick. In addition to some other things, and the legendary voice of the Florida State Seminoles and the world champion Tampa Bay Bucks, Gene Deckerhoff, will join us as well this hour. We look forward to it.
Yep. Buccaneers got a big fight on their hands Sunday at 4:25 now.
No, they
don't. Forget that.
No, they don't. They really don't.
No, Come on, man.
They're going to run you guys right out of town, but you're used to it.
I'll see you on Tuesday morning.
Hold on. Let me ask you real quick. What will be a closer defeat? Atlanta against Tampa Bay Sunday? Elon App State Saturday? Closer defeat.
Oh.
Just for you. You eating lemons over there? What are you doing? Lemon squares.
Is this
what
happened Barker bite? Is this a Barker bite question?
No, this is a Mark Packer to West Durham. You know, you got.
I'm going to say Falcons.
Falcons closer.
Are play hard. Falcons will be closer.
Okay, fair enough. Right. Mark the tape. Right. Mark the tape on that. Mark it. Assuming we can mark tape at the way we're rolling today in Bristol. I'm not sure if that's physically possible given our technical expertise. That could be a big ask.
Here we go. One stat per game. It's a fixture on a Football Friday, and we're going to start with tonight's game at Cardinal Stadium. You can see it on ESPN with Jason Benetti and Andre Ware. Coming up at 7 o'clock, Louisville hosts UCF. Malik Cunningham is 14th nationally and 2nd in the ACC with an average of 18 points per game, Pack.
Pretty strong considering it was goose eggs in the first 30 minutes of the season. He's picked up the pace, but you know what? Louisville's going to have to pick up the pace tonight. It's a good football team coming to town now. UCF can play. This is, again, another one of those narrative games we harp on all the time for the ACC. Tag, you're at Louisville. We'll talk to Rick Bozich about that coming up.
You bet. In about, 12 minutes. All right, Black Diamond Trophy is in Morgantown. They'll be at Mountaineer Field tomorrow. It's a high noon start for Virginia Tech in West Virginia. The Hokies own a 12-2 mark under Justin Fuente when rushing for 250 or more yards in a game, including 5-1 a season ago. West Virginia hasn't allowed 250 more net rushing yards in Neil Brown's tenure. 236 at Iowa State last year is the highest total they've allowed, and that includes winning the Liberty Bowl against Army last December.
250 may be a big ask, just saying. There may have to be other means. You know, Braxton Burmeister's been really good the first 2 weeks, mm-hmm. and maybe his wheels could be the difference in this game. This is a really, really good football game. Should be incredibly competitive.
I agree with you. High noon at Hard Rock Stadium over on ABC. Joe Tessitore, Greg McElroy, and the coveted invite will have Michigan State and number 24 Miami. You see the Canes, 4-1 at home in 2020. They're 25-6 in 31 regular season home games since Manny Diaz came to work for Mark Richt in 2016, Pack.
High noon, beautiful day, South Florida. Are fans going to be energized at the Hard Rock? That would be my first question. Second question is, hey, Miami, you going to tackle the guy with the ball this week? I highly suggest it. That stat we gave earlier this week, 241 yards after contact, will not be sufficient tomorrow. This is another important narrative game for the ACC. You're playing a Power 5 team. Sparty's off to a good start. Kenneth Walker, we know all about him from Wake Forest. He's transferred over. 321 yards so far. Very important game tomorrow for the ACC.
All right, let's go to Heinz Field at Pittsburgh, where the Panthers welcome Tim Lester's Western Michigan team to Pittsburgh tomorrow. Kenny Pickett, first pick quarterback with 2 400-yard passing games. No other player has more than one. Now, that's a list of quarterbacks he's on, too, that he has now 2 400-yard games.
Who's doing the game?
Tomorrow, Western Michigan and Pittsburgh will be on the ESPN app, Pack. That's part of the regional sports network coverage,
okay,
by the way.
All right, fair enough. I like Pitt. Big, large, grande.
All right. What do you think about Albany and Syracuse at the Dome tomorrow? That's Chris Cotter, Mark Herzlick, and Jalen Johnson as we start our triple header on ACC Network. Syracuse has won 11 straight games against teams from the state of New York, outscoring opponents 432-104.
I'm predicting that the voice of a single victory will be able to use that term for the last time tomorrow, because I'm sensing that our man Josh Macri tomorrow about 3:30 will now be the voice of multiple victories. That's what I think.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, first ever meeting between the Great Danes and the Orange tomorrow. The Pat Kraft Classic, so named by my partner, is tomorrow at Lincoln Financial Field. That ball game is on ESPNU with Brian Custer, Kelly Stauffer, and Lauren Sisler at noon. Boston College, 13 interceptions in 12 games under Jeff Hafley. That's in the top 25 of the FBS in that period.
If you're going to the game, take it from the Pac-Man. Before you get to the stadium, go to the Terminal Market and get the Amish pancakes. When you walk in, you go to the far left corner and you get in line and get the Amish pancakes. And if you've got anything left over, hit Denick's on the way out and get a double dip pork sandwich. Stick it in your pocket and go over there. And then you watch BC wear them out. Stick it, buy two. One for your right pocket and your left pocket. And then you go watch BC wear out Temple. Take it. And I'm telling you, you will not be disappointed.
You just told people to go to a place and eat Amish pancakes and then buy a double-dip pork sandwich. In fact, two of them
on
their way out.
Well, you got to balance your jacket or your pants. You don't want to be leaning one way or the other.
It's a noon game.
Go early, 7:30, whatever time they open up. The pancakes come first. Do a little walk around, sample, and then go grab a couple Denick sandwiches and then go to the stadium and watch BC kick Temple all over the yard. That's what I'd suggest.
All right. That highlights the 12 noon card. Let's go to the 3:30 start. We'll go to Frank Howard Field at Clemson's Memorial Stadium tomorrow. ABC and Bob Wischusen, Dan Orlovsky, Chris Budden with Georgia Tech and number 6 Clemson. The Jackets have outgained their opponents by more than 100 yards in each of their first two games this year. They're one up and one down headed to Clemson.
I remember going down to Atlanta. Never won down there. Georgia Tech.
I bet you do, Coach.
Georgia Tech would beat me silly. So I hope old Dabo puts 100 on them like he should have done last year.
Coach, you only had to go to Atlanta every year because Georgia Tech wouldn't come to Clemson to play you.
That's what I'm talking about. You know what? Revenge is going to be brutal for them boys tomorrow if I hadn't anything to do with it. If I was Dabo, I'd put 100 on them in the first half.
All right. ESPN's got the coverage of Florida State and Wake Forest. That starts at 3:30. Mark Jones, Robert Griffin III, and Quit Kestick on the call from Truist Field. Florida State hasn't won their ACC opener since 2015, Pack.
That is crazy. No, they hadn't won they haven't won an opener, period, since they beat Ole Miss a few years back. Got to get off to a great start. This game has kind of gained interest, I think, as the week's gone on, given what happened last Saturday night in Tallahassee and the anticipation that Wake Forest may be on to something. So I think this is, believe it or not, there's some marquee games around the country. This one is flying so far underneath the radar, but there's got nothing but storylines written all over this game, regardless of outcome. This will be a hot topic on Monday and Tuesday show next week here on ACC Network.
All right, 4 o'clock start. Wallace Wade Stadium right here on the West Campus at Duke. The 21st meeting all time between Northwestern and the Blue Devils. Gunnar Holmberg, 71.4% completion through his first two games, highest of any Duke quarterback, who's opened his first two games with 400 or more passing yards. Roddy Jones, LaRisha Harris, and I will be here for the call of that one.
It's JPI, and get it right, Wes. Wallace Wade Outdoor Stadium. Cameron Indoor. We got Wallace Wade Outdoor. given the way we've been rolling at Duke today, we want to make sure you get in the right place. Wallace Wade Outdoor Stadium. It's where we're going to be.
I got you. All right. Let's move over to Raleigh. 7:30 start tomorrow night for Furman and North Carolina State. The Wolfpack 7-0 against FCS teams under Dave Doran. They've outscored them 252-64.
It's all about Dick Sheridan tomorrow, boys. He was great for both. Hall of Famer Dick Sheridan. Man, was he a great coach. Always thought he'd even go on to bigger and better things. But I thought, he was great at Furman. He was great at NC State. I mean, he'd be Danny Ford like it was just like changing socks, man. He just had Danny's number. But NC State tomorrow gets back to their winning ways. I just hope they can get through the game healthy, right? I mean, given their week and what they're coming off of, NC State needs to get a nice, comfortable win, make sure everybody's healthy, and then the build-up will begin next week when Clemson comes to town.
He beat Danny Ford like changing socks?
He beat him every year, like 3 years in a row, I think it was. And this is back when Danny was rolling in the 80s. Man. NC State had their number. Now they can't beat him. But, man, back then, man, Dick Sheridan, boy, he would coach him up.
All right. 7:30 tomorrow night, the final game of our triple header right here on ACC Network, the South's oldest football rivalry. Carolina has not defeated Virginia in men's basketball or football since February of 2017. This is a Brian Ives special right here. I can tell you exactly who came up with this one. 11 straight losses, 7 in hoops, 4 in football for the Tar Heels against the Cavaliers.
You know, that doesn't sit very well with North Carolina fans, and I don't blame you. Man, I don't blame you. When you got one of those border wars and somebody taps you on the shoulder, not only in the fall, but also in the winter, that's a problem. I mean, because normally you get one of those things, hey, we stink in football, but we own you in hoops, or vice versa. But Virginia right now has been tapping a lot of shoulders with Carolina Blue on it. So I'm telling you, that game tomorrow night's got something riding on it on both sides. It will be a good one. And I'm glad it's right here on ACC Network. That's a beautiful thing.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
My partner, of course, could be at Wallace Wade Outdoor Stadium tomorrow. Northwestern coming to town, but there's another game going to be in Switzerland of note. And that'll be Florida State heading to Winston-Salem, take on the Demon Deacs, and the legendary voice, the Florida State Seminoles, and the world champion Tampa Bay Bucks joins us. That'd be Gene Deckerhoff. Gene, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, fellas. You know, the late coach Bobby Bowden once told me I had a great face for radio, and I was all dressed up and had my hair combed and my Seminole shirt on to do TV this morning. And your producer said, no, not so fast, my friend, as Lee Corso might say. You're going to be on radio. How do I look?
You look awesome. You sound even better. And we've had a few glitches today. It's been a fun high wire act here on ACC Network. But nevertheless, we have you on here for great insight. Now, listen, you have covered and called many an incredible moment at Florida State. I got to tell you, Saturday night was one of those that you wish was on a positive. But, man alive, could you believe what was going on? That was a crazy finish.
Well, it was a crazy finish, and, you know, Jacksonville State deserved the win. It's like Coach Mike Norvell said in his post-game comments, and he said again on our radio program, our radio and television on Monday nights, his talk show, he says, we have to own it. I mean, there's nothing we can do about it. But, a lengthy drive, a 97-yard drive to score a touchdown to make it close, 17-14, and then that final drive. I mean, you know, all we needed was 1 yard on third down and one, and we lose a yard, so we have to punt the ball. And you don't expect Jacksonville State to move the ball down the field like they did, and then let alone score with no time left on the clock. But it was a thrilling win for Jacksonville State. It was not so thrilling for the Noles. You know, we've lost games over the past with wide right one and wide left two and wide right three, you know. But I can't remember a game that we have lost on the last play on a Hail Mary type thing. We've won some that way, but I can't remember losing. And the Noles are 0-2. And we haven't proven anything yet, but got a chance. First ACC game comes up on, you know, tomorrow. So let's see how we do against Wake Forest. We owe them one. They beat us the last time we were there in 2019. Five field goals by Nick Skiba. I'll never forget that. Five of them. And for some reason, we just couldn't beat. We was 22-20. That's an unusual score. But, yeah, we owe one. Last year, we were scheduled to play in Winston-Salem, but because of the COVID, I don't know if we had the COVID breakout or Wake had the COVID, but the game was canceled. So we did not play. That's the first time since we joined the conference that we have not played Wake Forest.
By the way, how long did it take to pick up all the pieces from William Floyd's headset after that touchdown Saturday night?
My brother-in-law called my wife after the game, said, did Gene throw his headset down? No, I don't think I've thrown a headset in my lifetime, to be honest with you. I've done a lot of football and basketball games, but no. What we have to do is we got to put Band-Aids on that thing, so when we put that in front of William at Truist Field tomorrow, you'll see it's bandaged up and everything. No, but he was so frustrated. He kept saying during that last drive, hey, Wes, you can feel it, I can feel it, but they're moving down the field. You got to stop them. Don't give up this. And then a penalty. And I think William was probably ready to throw that thing before that final play.
You're probably right. All right, so with that said, Mike Norvell made it perfectly clear this week on his press conferences, this team will not quit, and I think he's right.
No.
What are your expectations of what you think you're going to see from Florida State tomorrow afternoon?
Well, if everybody's healthy, and you know, in the game of football, you got nicks and bruises and all that sort of stuff, I expect to see a football team that's not desperate, but just hungry. Hungry for a win, and we'll go out and play probably better than we did last week. We're going to have to. Penalties killed us. We have over 100 yards in penalties in that game, and close to 100 in the loss to Notre Dame. So you can correct those things in practice. That's not just coach speak. You can correct penalties, particularly those pre-snap penalties that cost you 5 yards. But it's something that the team has worked on, and they work on it every day. And the ball's got to start bouncing the right way for FSU, I would think. I mean, we've suffered the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, to quote Hamlet, I mean, the last two ball games, losing on the last play of two games. And we're 0-2. Turn that around, and you win on the last play of two games. You're 2-0. How about last week? I broadcast three games in a week, and all three of them came down to the last play of the ball game. The Bucks score on a field goal with 2 seconds left. I mean, good golly. All three games came down to that final play. We got a 53-yard field goal against Jacksonville State, and I'm glad to see Ryan kick that thing. And another thing that I want to point out, I saw Alex Mastromano, our punter, punt left-footed. I thought I did, and so I said to myself, I didn't realize he was left-footed. So the next time he punts right-footed. And I don't know if you caught that or you saw the highlights of it, or maybe somebody didn't show the highlights, but on JP, John Papuchis is our special teams coach, the defensive end coach. In his interview this week, he said, I don't know if any of y'all noticed it, but our punter putted left-footed one time and kicked it like 42, 43 yards. I can't kick it right-footed more than 10. He kicks both ways. I mean, it's an amazing thing. Our special teams are helping us. Now we got to get the offense on track, and the defense is more solid than it was a year ago.
I would agree with that. Mackenzie Milton looks like he has established himself as the starter. Is that a safe assumption as we head into week three and beyond?
Yeah, and for Mackenzie to play at the level he expects to play, his teammates have got to help him out. You know, you can put the ball in the air, you can put it on the money or close enough where you guys can make catches for it. But we had drops in the ball game that were just in fact, one of our coaches said this week that the drop by one of our better receivers sort of took the wind out of the sail. And then you complete a pass, but you get holding. You complete a pass, you commit a penalty. So it takes away a 20, 30-yard play. And maybe FSU tried to look for those explosive plays, but Jacksonville State did a great job of taking away that. They kept two safeties back deep, and we'll see the same thing out of Wake Forest. Wake plays that 4-2-5 defense. They get that rover. They drop back into coverage or blitz the quarterback. And we're going to see basically. So if there's anything good, Mark, if there's anything good out of that loss, we played a team that will play a defensive scheme sort of like what we'll see at Wake Forest. That's the only good thing that I think that we can learn from that football, other than don't be overconfident. And just because you took Notre Dame to overtime, don't think you're going to beat a team that got beat 31-0 in their first game of the season. So it was a combination of things. We didn't execute well. You hate to say overconfident, but I, if you look at video and you see a team that just got whacked 31-0, you say, hey, we're going to kill these guys. I mean, it's just mental. And so those are correctable things, too. And, don't give up on Florida State. This is a team that will make some noise. And maybe the noise begins tomorrow at 3:30 in Truist Field. If you're going to start on the road, you've got a team that's going on the road for the first time, it's nice to play. It's, instead of in front of 80,000 fans like you have in Gainesville, you play in front of 31,500 at Truist.
Well, you know, it's Switzerland now. Be careful those Deeks now. They don't turn it over. They're smart. They can run. Yeah. They score. I mean, be careful what you wish for there in Winston-Salem there, Gene. But, you know, one thing you said, though, was that this team defensively is certainly better than they were a year ago. One of the things that was stunning about last season, only 10 sacks. And all of a sudden, Jermaine Johnson shows up, transferred from Georgia. Man, he has been nothing short of sensational the first 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah, last year you mentioned 10. I had 9, but we had 9 or 10 in a 9-game season, shortened by COVID. This year already in 2 games, Florida State has 9 quarterback sacks. So we're getting to the quarterback. It's going to be tough to do the way Wake runs their offense. But, 9 and 4 of those 9. Half the sacks are by a guy that played at Georgia last year, and that's Jermaine Johnson II, who was one of our representatives at the ACC Media Kickoff Day. And I don't know, Mark, if you had a chance to meet Jermaine, but he's a heck of a talent, my friend, a heck of a talent. And he leads that defense. And the secondary's got some work to do. We've been nicked up a little bit in the secondary, and they're still trying to, to play in the secondary at the college level or the NFL level, you have to be confident. And right now, I think the Noel secondary is looking for that confidence. You know, when you got two people looking at each other and not making a tackle at the 10-yard line, and the receiver dances into the end zone to break your hearts and beat you 20-17 on the last play, you got to get that confidence back. You got to get that Deion Sanders swagger back. And the coaches are trying to get that swagger back, and we're going to need to see swagger the rest of the way.
I know this. I don't know how this game's going to turn out tomorrow, but I know this for a fact. There'll be two Hall of Fame broadcasters Sunday doing the NFL game in Tampa. That I do know.
That's Durham and Deckerhoff, huh? Durham and Deckerhoff.
That's Atlanta, it, brother.
You know, hey, how about this? Hey, Mark, ACC Nation, listen, you know, Florida State's got their reputation of wide right, losing games wide right, wide left, wide left, okay? And that's hopefully behind us. But I watched that Thursday night football game last night. You had two Florida State kickers in the ballgame. You had Graham Gano for the Giants, and you had Dustin Hopkins for the Washington Redskins. Now, Dustin was wide right on that last kick, but he got a bit of a five-yard penalty, and he made the field goal to win the ballgame. But how about that? Two Florida State Seminoles squaring off against each other on a Thursday night national spotlight football game. That's almost like us having ACC has eight quarterbacks that started in week one in the National Football League. We're the quarterback conference, aren't we?
You got that right. Gene, listen, always a pleasure. You're a Hall of Famer. You're great. And safe travels at Winston-Salem, and best of luck to the Noles moving forward.
All right. Touchdown, FSU.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Gene Deckerhoff says hello, by the way.
Hey, you know, I remember when we came bouncing out of the pandemic and we started doing live shows again. Every once in a while, we'd have to do shows in a unique way. We'd kind of walk that technological high wire we talk about. It's a good thing we had that experience for today. There you go.
You know, if I didn't have a radio show to do for 3 hours this afternoon, I would seriously, right. I would seriously contemplate a really big ice cube in about 10 minutes.
Hey, let me cheer you up on something.
I'm cheered
cheer
up.
You up on something.
I'm thrilled that we're 9 minutes away from getting ready to start the radio process for the day.
Well, let me cheer you up on this note. Get you to the weekend on this. 40 years ago Sunday, one of the great Clemson victories of all time, right?
I was
Tigers
there.
Beat Georgia. Oh, my God, Herschel fumbled it. Oh, he just coughed it up right there in front of everybody.
Here's Homer Jordan, a Perry Tuttle, Winston-Salem boy. This was my freshman year. I was sitting with Billy and Barb, and here's a very, very fine victory. Very, very nice victory over Vince Dooley. That was a great day now. Let me tell you something. You know, we've talked about the anticipation of games this weekend. You know, I can only imagine the folks in Morgantown are anticipating the arrival of Virginia Tech with that series getting renewed. The anticipation tomorrow night in Chapel Hill. Virginia, who's kind of had North Carolina's number, and the fact that North Carolina's got to hold serve in that game. The anticipation 40 years ago of the national champion Georgia Bulldogs and Herschel Walker coming to Death Valley. And we didn't know how good Clemson was because, again, my freshman year is the third game of the season. But that place, you wonder why they call it Death Valley? That afternoon, Wes, it roared. It roared. An hour before game time, it roared all day. It roared through the weekend. It was just one of those moments where old Buck Blue and Herschel Walker were like, man, can we get out of this place? Because Clemson jumped them. 13-3, great defense. Kind of like what we saw with the first game that they played a couple weeks ago, where you just were like, hey, if somebody can get in the end zone, they're going to win the game. And that's hard to believe.
Yep.
That was 40 years ago Sunday. But I remember that like it was last weekend. It was just an amazing day in Clemson, South Carolina.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, let's go. Bojangles weekend menu, kids. You betcha. Right here on a Friday. This is a tradition on the old program. Once we get back into the fall and spring, we kick it off. Actually, pack the weekend menu. For you, it starts in about 8 minutes. But for our television viewers, it starts at 5 o'clock. We got field hockey, Syracuse at Boston College. And then men's soccer at 7 o'clock. Ooh, Commonwealth Cup. Virginia Tech from Blacksburg. We told you about the triple header of football that starts at noon tomorrow with Albany, Syracuse, Northwestern Duke, Carolina, Virginia. Finishes us off. And then on Sunday, look at there, you got two field hockeys, noon and two as part of Sunday Best. And then how about a little Duke, Carolina men's soccer Sunday night? Keep you straight. Get you full weekend right here on the Bojangles weekend menu. Part of ACC Network.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We are 11 minutes away from our traditional Chester riding shotgun, Fuller in the back of the Ford F-150, and going to Bojangles. And the menu today will be pretty simple for the dogs. It's the same thing every time. Two biscuits, no butter. Butter's bad for the dogs. Yeah. Two biscuits, one for Chester, one for Fuller. And I may go, given how our show's gone today from a technical standpoint, I may go sausage and egg today. Sausage would be I think sausage would be appropriate given today's show. So I'll go sausage and egg, maybe a double dip on that. So that's going to be the menu at 10:05 at Bojangles.
Thanks to Luke DeCock, Kelsey Riggs, Rick Bozich, Gene Deckerhoff for being on the show today. Drew, Josh, Laura, great job fighting the hurdles, walking that wire, as they say. Appreciate that. Good week of shows, Pac.
That would be an understatement of the work done in Bristol today, because folks don't understand what happens behind the scenes. It was a minor miracle taking place with the smart people. They had done an amazing job putting a tourniquet on a band-aid on a tourniquet victim today. That has been some kind of an effort behind the scenes today.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.